everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the place where we dig into the chips, the silicon, and the infrastructure powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in ways that matter, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. Today, we've got a packed show. Grok just confirmed a massive fundraise. NVIDIA chips are becoming black market gold in China. Google's cooking up a wild new TPU with Metadata. Amazon wants to sell you AI chips now, and investors are throwing money at semiconductor ETFs like it's 1999. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off, Grok, the AI chip company, has officially confirmed they raised $650 million in a new funding round. And if you've been following the Grok story, you know this one comes with some serious drama attached to it. Because not too long ago, there were reports swirling that NVIDIA was in talks to acquire Grok in what was being called a, and I love this term, a not a quihire deal, reportedly valued around $20 billion. Now, for those unfamiliar with the term, an acqui-hire is when a big company buys a smaller one primarily to get their talent, not necessarily their product. But this deal reportedly fell apart, and NVIDIA walked away. So what does Grok do? They go out and raise $650 million and start rebuilding their team. And honestly, that's a power move. Now let's talk about why Grok matters in the first place, because they're not just another chip startup. Grok's core product is something called the LPU, the Language Processing Unit. And the whole idea behind it is that it's purpose-built for inference, meaning running AI models after they've been trained, rather than training them from scratch. Think of it this way: if training an AI model is like building a car in a factory, inference is like actually driving that car on the road. Most of the world's compute demand right now is increasingly shifting toward that inference side as more and more AI applications go live and get used by real people every day. Grok's pitch is that their LPU architecture can do inference dramatically faster and more efficiently than a general-purpose GPU. And they've got some genuinely impressive benchmark numbers to back that up. The question has always been, can they scale? Can they build enough chips, get them into data centers, and compete with the NVIDIA ecosystem that's already so deeply entrenched? That's a hard problem, and losing talent in a near-acquisition situation doesn't help. But $650 million gives them serious runway to restaff, scale manufacturing, and push their roadmap forward. The AI inference market is enormous and growing fast, and Grok is betting they can carve out a very real slice of it. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Okay, story number two, and this one has got geopolitics, black markets, and NVIDIA all wrapped up in one. How did U.S. export restrictions on NVIDIA's AI chips turn those chips into China's hottest commodity? Let's break this down. So over the past couple of years, the U.S. government has been steadily tightening export controls on advanced semiconductors going to China. The concern is straightforward. High-end AI chips can be used for military applications, advanced surveillance, weapons development, all of that. So the Commerce Department has put NVIDIA's most powerful chips, things like the H100, the A100, and now the H200, on restricted lists, meaning you can't just sell them to Chinese customers. Now here's where it gets interesting. When you tell the market something is forbidden, you don't eliminate demand, you create a black market, and that is exactly what's happening. These chips are being smuggled through third countries, resold at massive markups, and finding their way into Chinese data centers through all kinds of indirect channels. We're talking about chips that might retail around $30,000 to $40,000 a piece being resold for 2-3, sometimes 4 times that on the gray market. It's like concert tickets for the hottest show on earth, except the show is AI infrastructure and the stakes are national security. Now, NVIDIA has walked a really fine line here. They've tried to create export-compliant versions of their chips, like the H800 and the A800, that are technically within the allowed performance thresholds. But the U.S. government has kept tightening the rules, and those compliant versions have also faced restrictions, so the situation is constantly evolving. For China's tech industry, this is a genuine crisis and a genuine opportunity at the same time. On the crisis side, their AI development is being constrained by hardware access. On the opportunity side, it's accelerating investment in domestic chip companies like Huawei and their Ascend line of AI accelerators. The export control story is one of the most consequential hardware stories of our era, because it's not just about chips, it's about who gets to build the future of AI story 3. Let's talk money, specifically the money flowing into semiconductor investments. VanEck's semiconductor ETF has been on a serious rally, and it's being driven by one thing above all else: investors piling into AI hardware exposure because data center demand is just absolutely relentless right now. So first, quick context for anyone who's newer to investing. An ETF, or exchange-traded fund, is basically a basket of stocks that you can buy and sell like a single stock. VanEck has one focused on semiconductor companies, and it holds positions across the chip ecosystem, from chip designers to equipment makers to memory companies. And when AI hardware is hot, this thing moves. Now, why is it rallying right now? Data center demand. Every major hyperscaler, we're talking Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, is spending at a scale that is genuinely hard to wrap your head around. Microsoft alone has talked about spending $80 billion on data centers in a single year. That capital flows into servers, which need chips, which come from the semiconductor ecosystem, and investors are following that money. Think of it like a gold rush. The hyperscalers are the miners, and the semiconductor companies are selling the picks and shovels. Investors have figured out that regardless of which AI model wins the race, somebody's got to make the hardware. And that's a pretty compelling investment thesis. Now, it's not without risk. Semiconductor stocks are notoriously cyclical. There have been booms and busts throughout history, and AI enthusiasm can absolutely outpace actual revenue. But right now, the fundamentals genuinely support the excitement. Orders are real, revenues are real, and the roadmaps from companies like NVIDIA, TSMC, and ASML suggest this buildout has years of runway ahead of it. The smart money is clearly treating AI hardware as a structural trend, not just a hype cycle. All right, this next story is one I've been genuinely excited to talk about because it touches on some really cool silicon architecture decisions. Google is working with MediaDate to build its next-generation TPU, the TPU V9, codenamed Triggerfish. And the details here are fascinating. Let me give you the backstory first. Google has been building its own tensor processing units, or TPUs. For years now, custom AI accelerators designed specifically for running Google's workloads, both training large models and serving inference at massive scale. For the current generation, Google actually split the work between two partners. MediaDate developed the inference-optimized V8i chip, codenamed Zebrafish, and Broadcom developed the training-optimized V8t chip, codenamed Zebrafish, and Broadcom developed the training-optimized V8t chip, codenamed Sunfish. Two chips, two jobs, two partners. Makes sense from a specialization standpoint, but for TPU V9, Google is going in a different direction. Triggerfish is designed to handle both training and inference on a single chip. And here's the really interesting part. It's going to fuse a CPU and a compute die together in one package. This is what's called a chiplet architecture with heterogeneous integration. Instead of one big monolithic chip doing everything, you have specialized dies. Think of them as specialized modules packaged together tightly so they can communicate super fast. The CPU component is key because it gives the chip more flexibility for the kinds of complex, multi-step reasoning tasks that come with agentic AI. Agentic AI, if you're not familiar, refers to AI systems that can take sequences of actions, make decisions over time, use tools, basically AI that behaves more like an autonomous agent than just a question-answering system. Those workloads have really different compute profiles than simple inference, and having a CPU on the same package helps manage that orchestration. Google partnering with MediaDate, again, is also a signal. MediaDate is a powerhouse in chip design that doesn't always get the same headlines as NVIDIA or Qualcomm, but they are absolutely capable of pushing the envelope on custom silicon. Triggerfish sounds like it could be a genuinely significant chip, and I'll be watching the benchmarks very closely when this thing surfaces. And finally, story 5, Amazon wants to sell you AI chips, like directly at scale, to external customers. This is a significant strategic move, and it tells us a lot about where the hyperscalers think the market is heading. So here's the context. Amazon has been developing its own custom AI silicon for a while now. They've got the Trainium chips, focused on training, and the Inferentia chips, focused on inference. These were originally built to reduce Amazon's own dependence on NVIDIA hardware and lower their internal compute costs. That's the classic build-it-for-yourself story. But now Amazon is reportedly pivoting to offer these chips to external customers at scale, essentially saying, hey, you don't have to use NVIDIA either. You can use our chips through AWS, and we'll give you competitive pricing and performance. This is a bold move for a few reasons. First, it puts Amazon in direct competition with NVIDIA, not just as an end user of chips, but as an alternative silicon provider. Second, it means Amazon now has to convince external developers and enterprises to build and optimize their workloads on Trainium and Inferentia rather than the NVIDIA CUDA ecosystem, which is deeply, deeply entrenched. That's the big challenge. CUDA is not just a programming framework, it's years of libraries, tools, optimizations, and institutional knowledge. Switching away from it is genuinely hard. Amazon knows this, which is why they've been investing in software compatibility layers and open standards like their Neuron SDK. The business case is compelling, though, if Amazon can capture even a fraction of the external AI chip market. The revenue upside is enormous. And for enterprise customers, having a second credible option besides NVIDIA is actually really attractive because it creates competition and drives prices down. The AI chip market is big enough that multiple winners can exist, and Amazon clearly believes they can be one of them. And that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a lot of ground today, from Grok's $650 million comeback to smuggled NVIDIA chips, investor dollars flowing into semiconductors, Google's fascinating triggerfish, TPU, and Amazon jumping into the chip-selling game. The hardware world is moving fast, and honestly, I love every minute of covering it. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Check the link in show notes to learn more about both of those sponsors. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share it with someone who geeks out on silicon and AI as much as we do. Show notes with more details on every story are available. You know where to find them. See you next time.